30 and 61 degrees in Moorhead, this is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
We discovered that DOCJT was circumventing state law and regulations on both procurement and hiring.
Kentucky State Auditor Mike Harmon says a five-month investigation has revealed that the Department of Criminal Justice Training misused its funds.
Lewis County schools have a new superintendent.
And Kentucky's K-12 education numbers are showing improvement amid controversy on higher ed spending.
In sports, the Bengals play the Dolphins on Thursday night football.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of rain and lows in the 50s tonight. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A woman is dead following a house fire in Lucasville, Ohio. The Portsmouth Daily Times reports the blaze happened this morning at a home on Lentz Hollow Road, taking the life of 82-year-old Betty Jane Stanley. The woman's nephew says a neighbor attempted to rescue her before firefighters arrived. The cause of the fire remains under investigation by Ohio State Fire Marshals.
Kentucky's auditor is reporting that the Department of Criminal Justice Training in Frankfort has misused its funds. Mike Harmon's five-month investigation of the DOCJT concerned spending of State Law Enforcement Foundation program funds.
We discovered that DOCJT was circumventing state law and regulations on both procurement and hiring. We identified hiring and contracting practices that led to potential conflicts of interest, and we found numerous examples of excessive and inappropriate spending.
Harmon says his audit will be turned over to the Executive Branch Ethics Commission.
A former high-ranking Kentucky official at the center of a kickback scheme has been sentenced to nearly 6 years in prison. Tim Longmire was sentenced to 70 months today by U.S. District Judge Karen Caldwell. Longmire pleaded guilty in April to a federal bribery charge for using his influence as head of Kentucky's personnel cabinet to steer contracts to a public relations firm. He admitted receiving more than $200,000 in kickbacks. Longmire served as personnel secretary during former Governor Steve Beshear's administration. Attorney General Andy Beshear then hired Longmire as his top deputy, but he resigned days before the case against him became public. Prosecutors say Longmire directed some of the money in the kickback scheme to Andy Beshear's campaign for attorney general. An affidavit from an FBI agent says Beshear had no knowledge of the scheme.
A Scott County cemetery owner was arrested after being accused of deceiving customers into paying more than necessary. Kurt Darling has the story.
Dale Shackelford, the Crestlawn Cemetery owner, is accused of stealing over $15,000 from six customers. Shackelford was recently arrested after a Scott County grand jury indicted him earlier this month on one count of theft by deception. According to the indictment, the 57-year-old Georgetown resident unlawfully obtained the money last year by allegedly creating the false impression that it would be used to buy headstones and grave plots. I'm Kurt Darling.
Kentucky Congressman Hal Rogers says the stopgap funding bill approved yesterday is a responsible measure that averts a federal government shutdown and provides money for urgent needs. The Pulaski County Republican chairs the House Appropriations Committee.
This legislation includes important provisions that address current national needs, including an additional $37 million to fight the opioid epidemic, which has struck my district especially hard, and an additional $500 million in disaster-designated funding to help states recover and rebuild from recent destructive flooding.
In addition, Rogers says the bill includes $1.1 billion to battle the Zika virus.
The head of the Lewis County School Board is looking forward to working with the district's new superintendent. The board named Jamie Weddington to the post Tuesday night. Chairman Brian McRoberts thinks Weddington will make a good superintendent, noting that his experience as the principal at Lewis County High School helped him beat out the other five finalists for the job.
I think the most thing that weighed more than anything was that he had been a principal. He knows what it's like, you know, what those administrators need, what their struggles are every day.
In recent years, Weddington has been the Lewis District's Director of Pupil Personnel, which McRoberts says gives him an important understanding of student disciplinary and enrollment matters.
Kentucky House Democrats rallied in the Capitol yesterday to criticize Governor Matt Bevin's record on education. The gathering comes just days after the state's highest court blocked the governor's mid-year cuts to universities. But Bevin fired a preemptive shot, posting a video to YouTube before the press conference. He said no other administration than his has put more money into K-12 education, and he blasted the university's response to his mid-year 2% cuts.
The very same universities, the very people that are crying about how much they are being cut, that $18 million accounts for less than one-third of 1% of their $6.6 billion operating funds.
The governor has not yet indicated if he will challenge the ruling.
There's a new start date to apply for federal student aid. If you are seeking help to pay for college, you can begin applying on October 1st for the need-based funds. In the past, the start date was January 1st. Kentucky Lottery spokesman Chip Polston says there are nearly $100 million in Kentucky Lottery-funded scholarships and grants to be distributed, and students should apply as soon as possible.
Get in early so you know that you'll be one of the early applicants to go through there, and if you wait till that January 1st date, there is a chance that all those funds will be gone.
Polston notes the change will not affect the Keys scholarship program.
The number of Kentucky students graduating from high school and considered college and career ready is on the rise. Officials with the Kentucky Department of Education released a statement today which finds that the latest college and career readiness rate was at 68.5. That's up from 66.9 last year and 62.5 the previous year. The data finds that more students are scoring at higher levels since the state launched its assessment and accountability system 5 years ago, and the number of schools and districts performing at the highest levels of either proficient or distinguished are up from last year. Despite these improvements, State Education Commissioner Stephen Pruitt says there are still large achievement gaps for minority, low-income, and disabled students.
The National Weather Service office in Jackson will soon have water service. Kentucky's Commissioner for the Department of Local Government, Sandra Donahue, says the Breathitt County operation has been serving eastern Kentucky for decades, but was never hooked up to a water line.
They're located on the top of a hill and a mountain in Jackson, and until just now, they have had to haul every drop of drinking water that they have. If they flush their toilet, if they make a pot of coffee, if they have a drink of water, they've had to haul that water up the mountain.
Donahue says grant funding has now been secured through the Appalachian Regional Commission to extend a water line to the top of that mountain. She says it should be in place next year. The Jackson office provides weather data for 33 eastern Kentucky counties.
State Representative Steve Riggs continues to ponder introduction of a bill that would create an Office of Inspector General within Kentucky's Department for Local Government. The Jefferson County Democrat chairs the House Local Government Committee. Riggs resurrected the issue Wednesday when DLG Commissioner Sandra Donahue testified before his panel in Frankfort. He says such a measure was being contemplated shortly after Donahue took office.
That suggested that your department, your area, have what's called a special investigator, Office of Special Investigations, like a lot of other cabinets have. I think we understand what the concept's for, and that is to safeguard the taxpayers' money.
Riggs says the DLG handles more taxpayer money than any other Kentucky cabinet. Donahue has not endorsed or opposed the idea. She says she wants to speak with Governor Bevin about it and continue discussions with state lawmakers on the most effective strategies for monitoring the use of grant funds.
Morehead officials are still working on their plan to get a hotel built in the city's downtown. Tony Pence is the executive director for Downtown Morehead Incorporated. According to Pence, the effort should start picking up steam after a group of local civic and community leaders that he's been working with is able to push through a proposal to get a section of a city designated as a tax incremental financing district.
The initial analysis of that is nearing completion. Within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we will be having public hearing and a meeting with City Council and the fiscal court to establish that district in the downtown area. That will enable us to have an incentive package to offer, a developer.
Tax incremental financing, also known as TIF, is a method for helping local governments subsidize new development, infrastructure, and community improvement projects in designated parts of their municipalities.
The Morehead-Rowan County Airport Board is trying to settle the situation surrounding the manager's job at the Clyde A. Thomas Regional Airport. Mike and Tracy Potter have run things there for the past 6 years, but recently added the managerial duties for a small airport in Danville, Illinois. Board Chairman Tim James says while the Potters could stay on at the Thomas Regional Airport, his group has begun advertising the manager's job to see who might be interested.
We could have just an airport manager that someone is just meeting people and greeting people and pumping fuel, or we could have a total operation, which is what we call a fixed base operator, where they would do airframe and power plant work as well as flight instruction and managing the airport.
James says the Morehead-Rowan County Airport Board wants to decide what to do about that job by December.
Ohio State Representative Denise Driehaus is calling on the State General Assembly to approve legislation that provides additional resources to local communities to combat the opioid epidemic. Driehaus is a Democrat from Cincinnati. She made the appeal during a press conference Wednesday. The lawmaker says she talked with first responders in southern Ohio to find out what their real needs are.
What I hear unanimously is that we need more money for Narcan. As you know, carfentanil is being laced in with the heroin, and it can be lethal. It's why you see so many overdoses, because it's so much more potent than just the heroin.
Ohio's House of Representatives is not currently in session, but Driehaus says members are ready to return to Columbus to deal with the problem.
With less than 6 weeks remaining before Kentucky voters make their way to the polls, Senate candidates Rand Paul and Jim Gray have yet to debate. As Josh James reports, the Democratic challenger has been working to make the incumbent's still unconfirmed schedule into a campaign issue.
Gray and Paul have crossed paths in recent weeks, both appearing at the Fancy Farm Picnic in western Kentucky and at a Kentucky Farm Bureau forum, but so far never sharing the stage. On the phone with WUKY earlier this month, Gray used the dearth of debate dates to question his opponent's commitment to a robust race.
I've agreed to do debates, and it's regrettable, and it's unfortunate for the people of Kentucky that Senator Paul still has not agreed to do a debate. Now, he's neglecting to recognize that this is all about democratic process, and engaging the people and engaging in debates is all part of that.
But Gray has turned down at least one possible joint event, a debate on foreign policy hosted by Bluegrass Community and Technical College this Friday. The Paul campaign has been invited, but spokesperson Kelsey Cooper would only confirm previous statements that the freshman senator will debate sometime in the fall. In response to Gray, Cooper charged that the Lexington mayor is, quote, more interested in distracting Kentucky voters with a conversation about debates to avoid discussing his support for Hillary Clinton and her anti-Kentucky agenda. The candidates will again be making separate appearances before the same group in the coming week, with Gray addressing Commerce Lexington on Friday and Paul taking his turn before the chamber the following Tuesday. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Kentucky Community and Technical College will host its upcoming fourth annual Diversity Fair at the Frankfort Convention Center. The October 12th event will allow businesses owned by minorities, women, veterans, and disabled people to come and promote themselves. Vicki Parman is the Director of Business Services for the KCTCS.
It's a free matchmaking event that allows these diverse suppliers to meet face-to-face with representatives from all of KCTCS's 16 colleges, buyers from the University of Kentucky, buyers and officials from other organizations in attendance.
Registrations and tables for vendors are free, but are on a first-come, first-served basis, and the event is already two-thirds full. To register, call 859-256-3325 or go online at kctcs.edu.
The Grayson Area Chamber of Commerce is set to bury a time capsule this Saturday. MSPR's Brian Courtney.
The Ashland Independent reports that the Grayson Area Chamber of Commerce will bury a time capsule on Saturday afternoon in celebration of the organization's 65th anniversary. Chamber coordinator Maggie Duncan got the idea on her trip to Gothenburg, Nebraska, where that town's chamber just retrieved its time capsule. Malone Funeral Home is donating the capsule, and the city is getting the memorabilia to put in it donated from its citizens. The material will include drawings from children of what they think the city will look like in the future. The cutoff for donating items for the capsule is 1 p.m. on Saturday. That's when the time capsule will be put in the ground. It will be buried behind the Welcome to Grayson sign and will be opened in 2081. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Brian Courtney.
Your weather tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, patchy fog, lows in the lower 50s, and a chance of rain of 50%. On Friday, partly sunny, isolated showers early, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of rain is at 20%. On Friday night, partly cloudy with patchy fog, isolated showers near dawn, lows around 50 degrees. Chance of rain, 20%. And on Saturday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of showers, highs in the lower 70s. In Ashland right now, it's 62 degrees, Flemingsburg 60 degrees, Inez 59, Lexington 62, Winchester 62, and here in Moorhead, it's 61 degrees.
The time is 4:46. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment, millions of children suffer from pediatric cancer in the U.S., but some students at Moorhead State University are helping them fight back. An organization called Love Your Melon is making a difference at MSU and across the country. Damon Huff reports.
I started with the crew in December. We started all together. They started in October, and I just kind of started a couple months late.
That's Sierra Landrum, president of the Moorhead State University Love Your Melon Crew. She is the second president of the organization, and we speak on a temperate summer night. Her crew busy packing up from a recent outdoor photo shoot. We talk about what that first year was like for the crew.
Honestly, super stressful. We don't have a lot to go off of. We have basic rules from Love Your Melon, the organization, the headquarters, and we're basically just trying to build it up to what we are now. I think we're pretty successful in that. We just want a challenge with our region, and we're number one in our region for hat sales and or product sales, I guess, in general. So I think we're doing pretty well for only being a year old.
See, Love Your Melon is an apparel brand started by Brian Keller and Zachary Quinn. They sell beanies, shirts, lanyards, and a myriad of other items, with the promise that half the proceeds go to their partner charities, Cure Search and the Pinky Swear Foundation.
We do a lot of things. So basically, as a crew on a campus, your goal or mission or what we do for the company or organization, I guess, is we get the name out there so people can buy the products, so the products, the money can get to the people. We can, you know. So we do a lot of tabling. We do a lot of giveaways. We just try to do what we can to get out there and get people to know what Love Your Melon is.
The Moorhead State crew knows firsthand how important it is to raise awareness for this cause and for cancer awareness. During their year as a crew, MSU Love Your Melon has met with two children battling cancer, Hunter and Isaiah.
I didn't get to personally meet Isaiah. They had, from what I hear, a wonderful, wonderful day with him. I was very involved in making the costume for that day, so the involvement in general, hearing his story, was amazing. And then on top of that, in May, I believe, he lost his battle, and so that was heartbreaking, I know, for the whole crew. And then we got to meet Hunter during Superhero Day in the spring, and I love him so much. We heard about his story, we met his nan. We still keep in contact with him. You honestly would never know that he is battling cancer at all. He's just like a fun little kid that loves life. It's life-changing. It's really crazy and eye-opening that I complain about walking across campus or complain about homework or any of that, and you meet these kids that are not blessed enough to even get to go to school every single day because of chemo treatments. And so just is really heartfelt and life-changing for me and in general. I know the whole crew feels the same.
The moon was high in the sky as I asked Sierra what she thought the future held for her organization.
We are going to, hopefully and praying, that we are going to be an organization on campus. So that will mean that I can table wherever I want to table. That means that we'll be able to do things like our 5Ks on campus, and we'll have to always partner with someone, but it doesn't necessarily have to be someone on campus. I think it opens up a lot of options. It also means that we're Moorheads, it's an organization on Moorhead, so I think that'll itself kind of get people to recognize us. So I think really in general that'll be good. But we're growing. We're on top right now, and I think we're trying to keep that momentum going. We're putting everything we got in all of our challenges, everything we got in general. We have a really amazing crew. We have spots open, and I think that we're trying to fill those with the best that we can get and people that are genuinely ready to give us the dedication and time and get this mission going.
This is Damon Huff.
I won't say goodnight. I just want to make you laugh. I just want to see that smile.
The time is 4:50. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. Braxton has been keeping an eye on your sports world. We'll hear from him in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the UK College of Public Health, with a reminder to parents to ensure the health of your child by offering a healthy diet and regular doctor checkups, including vaccines. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, is a common cancer-causing virus. The CDC recommends 3 doses of the HPV vaccine for all boys and girls ages 11 to 26. Total Care Pharmacy at 206 West Main Street in Morehead is now offering the vaccine with no appointment needed. More information at 784-4491.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Bengals will be a part of tonight's featured NFL matchup when they host the Miami Dolphins at 8:25. At 1-2, the Bengals are off to their worst start in 5 seasons. Bengals coach Marvin Lewis says beating the Dolphins won't be easy. They have an offense that's tough to stop.
Ryan Tannehill is a good athlete, very accurate passer, strong passer, good athlete, can run. Right now is leading them with carries. And, you know, they have explosive guys. Landry's playing very well, tough with the ball in his hand, tough runner, good catch.
The 1-2 Dolphins are coming off of a 30-24 overtime victory last Sunday against Cleveland. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure believes the Eagles could be in for a shootout when they host Valparaiso in a PFL contest at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Tenure notes that keeping the 2-2 Crusaders off the scoreboard will be difficult for MSU. Despite using 3 different quarterbacks this season, Valpo is still averaging 25 points a game.
They believe they're running back. They want to get him the football, and they're going to take shots vertical. They're going to be a quick pass game. They're going to throw screens, and you know they're going to be who they are. And but we got to prepare for their offense, and they got to prepare for our offense. So look forward to the challenge this week.
Like Valparaiso, MSU is averaging 25 points a game. The Eagles have won their last 9 meetings with Crusaders. The University of Kentucky football team faces a big task Saturday when they visit Alabama. Head coach Mark Stoops says his team hasn't had a challenge like they will have on Saturday versus the top-ranked Crimson Tide.
We haven't faced anything like this where they're so physical. It starts with physicality up front, you know, with their line and with their backs and their tight ends and, you know, everybody, their wideouts, and starts with that run game and then, you know, everything off that.
Kentucky is 2-2 on the year, while Alabama is a perfect 4-0. Bama is expected to be without their star linebacker Tim Williams, who was arrested earlier this morning for carrying a pistol without a permit. Williams has been released on a $300 bond. Round County's football team will face another explosive foe tomorrow night when the Vikings visit Greenup County. The 4-2 Musketeers are clicking for 30 points a game. Round coach Dean Peterson says new Greenup bench boss Scott Grizzle's wide-open offense can attack an opponent in several different ways.
Coach Grizzle has come in, you know, brought his offense in, and you know, he likes to really throw the football, and that's, you know, they're going to be 4 wide and with a single back, and you know, run, you know, a lot of some zone runs with them, but also like to throw the ball down the field.
On the flip side, winless Round is still looking to generate some offense. The Vikings have scored just 30 points all season. Also in high school football tomorrow evening, Bath County will try to improve on its 3-2 record as the Wildcats visit 2-3 West Carter. Bath coach Johnny Pointer says the Comets will be tough to beat.
They've got a lot of athletes, and they're fast, so I expect them to, you know, do what they've done for the last couple of years, you know, get the ball in the hands of the Browns and let them do their thing.
In some other games, Boyd faces rival Ashland Blazer, Johnson Central visits East Carter, Russell plays at Fleming, and Morgan travels to Powell. The Cincinnati Reds wrap up their 4-game series with the Cardinals in St. Louis this evening at 7:15. After a terrible start to the season, the Reds have played about 500 balls since July. Manager Brian Price says the turnaround began when lead starting pitcher Anthony DeSclafani rejoined the team's pitching staff from the disabled list.
It
lines up with, you know, Disco coming back into our rotation and then getting Iglesias and Lorenzen healthy and being reinvigorated. And, you know, the other part of that, of course, is the rest of the team, but the position players staying hungry and going out there and not giving up on the season, and that allows us to play good baseball through September.
And finally, in sports, the Morehead State soccer team travels to Richmond to take on OVC rival Eastern Kentucky tonight. MSU is on a 5-game losing streak, and head coach Warren Lipka says his club will have to play a great game to end that streak against the Colonels.
Blowing them down, it's going to be on their home field, so we've got to make sure we're good defensively, we don't give anything away, and, you know, make the most of our chances.
MSU checks into the game with a 3-7-1 record, while EKU is 7-2. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle football will open its Pioneer Football League schedule by hosting Valparaiso on Saturday. Game time is 1 p.m. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed sharply lower after banking stocks fell, with Deutsche Bank's U.S. listed shares hitting a new all-time low. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 195.79 at 18,143.45, although off of earlier lows. The S&P 500 was down 20.24. at 2151.13, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 49.39 at 5269.15. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The three major indices hit session lows shortly after Bloomberg reported that approximately 10 hedge funds were reducing their exposure to Deutsche Bank, and Deutsche's U.S.-listed shares fell almost 7%, and intraday dropped as much as 9%. In the past 2 weeks, the German bank has been hit with billions in fines from the U.S. Justice Department and also reports that it will not be receiving help from the German government. And the Spider S&P Bank ETF followed Deutsche's shares lower as it dropped approximately 1.5%. In the NASDAQ, Apple fell 1.6%, and the iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF dropped 3.1%. In economic news, pending home sales fell 2.4% in August, marking the third straight monthly decline. And in corporate news, PepsiCo shares rose as much as 2% after the soda and snacks giant posted better-than-expected quarterly results. ConAgra and Accenture shares were also strong today following their quarterly results. And after the bell, Costco is scheduled to post results for the latest quarter. And also, the U.S. economy, it was reported, grew slightly faster than previously estimated, for the second quarter, as the Commerce Department now says GDP rose at an annualized rate of 1.4% in the second quarter. Gold today down 0.2%, finishing at $1,326.60 an ounce amid the rout in stocks. And among your Dow industrial stocks today, the best performers were Caterpillar and Verizon, and your worst performers were Goldman Sachs and Merck. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were ConAgra and Qualcomm, and your worst performers were Chesapeake Energy and Marathon Petroleum. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland down 71 cents at $116.87, CSX down 2 cents at $29.99, AEP down 85 cents at $64.51, AK Steel down 16 cents at $4.93, Marathon Petroleum was down $2.92 at $39.72, and Anthem was down $2.43 to finish at $124.94. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Chaz Jenkins, and Brian Courtney. From WUKY, Josh James, from the Kentucky News Network, Kurt Darling, and with our feature, Damon Huff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. You can find us on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.